Hello, and thank you for tuning in to Rising CNY. We have an amazing episode for you. This is our first episode of the new year 2024. And if you have listened to our last five episodes, then you're really in for a great treat with Miss Evelyn Ingram. Evelyn Ingram is the Community Engagement Director of Wegmans, but I'm going to do what we love to do here, which is let people introduce themselves. I love letting people frame themselves for our listeners, Evelyn. So if you will, please introduce yourself to our listeners.
Well, first, I'd like to say thank you so much for having me on your show. This is a great opportunity to be able to just have some conversation with you. I know we've had conversations here and there, but I think this is great to be focused and have some in-depth conversation. So again, my name is Evelyn Ingram, and I do oversee community engagement for Wegmans Food Markets. And I'll say I absolutely love what I do. It's an amazing opportunity at an amazing company. So I do enjoy that. I'm also an entrepreneur, as my husband and I are venturing on a project to restore a church that is on the south side of Syracuse. We're excited about that. I'm also a mother. I have a 20-year-old son. Oh my goodness, 20-year-old. I'm excited for him. And I'm just someone who really loves to help and be impactful in the things that I do.
Yes, and impactful you are. And it's time that the rest of Central New York gets to know the woman behind the Wegmans brand. Now, Wegmans is everywhere. So I'm pretty sure people are familiar with that. And for people who are relocating here, I saw a battle on Twitter about where to take my nephew food shopping. So, you know, we take Wegmans very seriously here. I want to dig into you, though, who you are as a woman. I think it's important that we get to know our leaders. We're going to talk a little bit about Wegmans. We're definitely going to talk about the castle, the church that you and your husband, Chino, have. And then we'll move on from there about the community and your perspectives about those things. Does that sound good?
Sounds great.
All right. So I've always been interested in you.
Okay.
So like you said, we had conversations here and there. We know each other pretty well, you know, in passing. We've been getting to know each other a little more, which is great. I feel like you are such a poised woman.
Thank you.
And it's not just in a public, like even now, you know, how you're here, you just have such a grace about yourself. And I imagine you remind me of my Nana and my Aunt Donna.
Do I?
So, yeah, you
I'm that old?
No. My Aunt Donna, she might be a little bit around your age or maybe a little bit younger than you. But when I say that, I'm saying because I know in my family, you know, we're a middle-class family. And my grandmother was very, very particular about, you know, how we carry ourselves. I don't know what happened to me, but, you know. But when I say that, I'm just talking about your grace. And so I'm wondering, you know, like, what was your upbringing like?
Well, thank you for that. That's a nice compliment. I do hope that my presence brings something, particularly to young women, that they would aspire for, because I think it's important that we model for others. But I'm getting what you're saying, and I do think that it evolves around my parents and my upbringing. I'll share that I have two sisters, and my father was very much a stickler on the way we carried ourselves as women. Mm-hmm. And by that, I mean, we definitely had to present ourselves a certain way when we were in public, the way we dressed, the way we carried ourselves. He was one of those that he would not allow hair rollers in public, you know, bonnets and scarves, not absolutely with him. It was no, no, no. And I think that it really brought a level of, I guess, image and also presentation that my sisters and I carry, to the point where my father wouldn't even let us go to our mailbox, which was at the end of our driveway, mm-hmm. if we weren't dressed. Mm-hmm. It was like, you know, this is how you present yourself. So I think that he and my mother really instilled in us a sense of pride in ourselves and who we are. And my father also always said, like, he liked women in high heels. Mm-hmm. You're not dressed if you don't have on your high heels, particularly right, when right. you're going to church or outings like that. So I think for that, it's worked for me because now people always say, oh, Evelyn, you're always dressed up. You always, but I'm comfortable that way. Mm-hmm. I mean, honestly, I'm comfortable. So I think that from that perspective, in my role that I have at Wegmans, whereas I do oversee community engagement, but I also oversee media relations. Mm-hmm. So with that, I can get called by a media outlet, you know, spur of the moment. We need you to come do an interview about X, Y, and Z. So I feel like I have to be prepared mm-hmm. for that. So when I come to work, I come dressed. So if I do get that call, I'm ready. I don't have to get ready.
Right.
So that's important to me. And I do appreciate that I do like being dressed, getting dressed up. It's not one of those things that, oh my goodness, I got to put on high right. heels today. So that's just part of me.
Right. Yeah. And it does resonate with, you know, younger women who are coming up, including people like myself. When I first moved here, even though it was like 10 years ago, you're definitely like someone who caught my eye. I said the same thing to Melanie Littlejohn. It just was like you guys had a familiar spirits for me mm-hmm. and my family and, you know, relocating to a place where you know no one. You kind of look for those things in people. So,
which I appreciate that. And that to yeah. me, again, is a compliment that people are looking and saying, okay, that's a nice approach, a nice style. Mm-hmm.
So. And it's genuine mm-hmm. to your point. But you also have a background in public relations, correct?
I do.
Tell me a little bit about that.
I do. So it's funny that I came to Syracuse because of Syracuse University. I came as a freshman at SU, majoring in PR at the Newhouse School, public relations. So that kind of was my initial thought of kind of something that's image related. And honestly, I chose that major because I didn't really like math. Mm-hmm. I definitely didn't like science. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to find something that kind of fit both my personality and my skill.
Right.
And I always enjoy talking. I've never been afraid to speak publicly. And I've never been afraid to be able to develop relationships with people. So mm-hmm. from that perspective, public relations really fit my style. So that's kind of where I started.
Tell me, before you worked for Wegmans, though, where did you work before it became Wegmans?
So it's funny. I've been blessed to have some great opportunities in Syracuse. So after I graduated SU, I, unlike many others, stayed in Syracuse. I'm originally from Long Island, and all of my friends from Long Island, D.C., Maryland, you know, all those great cities, they went back to where they lived to pursue their careers. Mm-hmm. And I ended up staying in Syracuse. And initially, I was a little hesitant, but some opportunities presented themselves to me that really made it worth my while to mm-hmm. stay. So my initial job out of college was with Carrier Corporation, and I was doing marketing and public relations for them.
Okay.
And at that time, Carrier was like the place to be. If you got a job at Carrier, you were in there. So it really worked out. And I'm very appreciative of my job at Carrier because it gave me a great foundation of just business and mm-hmm. corporation and how to navigate from a political perspective within a corporate environment. So it was very strict and traditional, I'll say. Mm-hmm. But again, I think that that helped me as I moved in my career, then working for Bristol-Myers Squibb, which was actually right up the street from Carrier on Thompson Road. Mm-hmm. And I worked there in human resources. And it was a pharmaceutical industry company, so it really gave me a good way to process things, because obviously there's a process when it relates to developing products. So then there, and I came to Wegmans. And when I got recruited to Wegmans, it was kind of like not expected because I wasn't really looking for a job. But at Bristol, we got calls from recruiters all the time. I mean, literally, I would get calls, emails all the time, and I normally wouldn't respond. But this particular time, I got a call, I answered it, and the recruiter said, at the time, she didn't tell me what company she was recruiting for. Mm-hmm. Long story short, it turned out it was Wegmans. And initially, I was like, Wegmans. I mean, I shopped there. But I was working at a supermarket. It was like, I don't want to do that. But I ended up, you know, as you see, I did. And it was the best decision I ever made in my life because I see Wegmans as a corporation. It's not just a supermarket. It has all the different areas that any major corporation has. And it lets me be me. I mean, I'm in a job that I can be totally 100% authentically Evelyn, and I love it.
I love that. And listening to you, that trajectory of why you do it so well, because when we first started talking about it, yes, public image and being a people person, but to your point, that business aspect is so important. So that background that you had in human resources and then working at Carrier, it's like where corporate meets community is how I like to explain it.
Absolutely.
And the other thing about Wegmans that I picked up on is that it's a family-owned business. So even though it's a corporation and its business is corporate, its values is more family-oriented. Would you agree?
Absolutely. And it's a family-owned company, which allows us to do and operate the way we want. It's not publicly held, so we don't have to worry about shareholders and, you know, can only do this or that. The family, the Wegman family, mm-hmm. have the opportunity to do what they feel is best. And because they operate at a level of integrity, mm-hmm. and so do I, mm-hmm. it's absolutely aligned.
Right.
And I love that.
Those values matching is
absolutely.
So important. It's
absolutely.
So key. I mean, people out there, if you're listening, I know benefits and all those things matter too, but you should always think about and ask about a company's value system and make sure that they live up to it.
Yeah.
I'm glad that we're talking about this because one thing about Central New York and upstate New York is that it's very local driven, right? Local is so important mm-hmm. to natives. And I think for people like myself who might come from like a big city and then come into the space with, around all this agriculture and land and all the difference, really take a liking to and a deeper understanding to what small business truly means to the economy for sure, but also to yourself and your family. How does that impact you, the way you see it and think about it? Like, is that really important to you and to Wegmans?
Well, I think when I think about it, it's small business, but it's not small-minded.
Right.
And that's where I think sometimes people misconstrue having a small business. Wegmans started out as a small business. Mm-hmm. We started out as a grocery cart on the street on a corner in Rochester. Literally.
Wow.
And now, many years later, we have over 100 store locations on the northeast corner of the country and growing. Mm-hmm. So I think it's being able to recognize that you have a small business, but you still want to grow in a way that makes you large. Mm. So I think Wegmans has really been an expert at that process. So even though we do have many locations, we work hard to make sure that anytime we open a new store, it is aligned with our value system. Mm-hmm. So you can go to a store in Virginia, Massachusetts, North Carolina, or New York mm-hmm. and still have that same Wegmans experience.
Right.
And that's very important for us. So I think being able to make sure that you can model that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think being able to be local, we still make sure that we are supporting locally owned businesses. Produce, you see the signs in the stores, this farm is from, you know, Baldwinsville, New York, mm-hmm. and the areas around us. That's important too, because even though we do are large, we still want to make sure that we have that impact that's affecting those who are right around us.
Mm-hmm. Right. I'm glad you mentioned that. But your role isn't just about Wegmans. Your role is about community engagement and impact as well. And this is where our paths cross along with our peers. And you're pretty much everywhere. But it's more than just giving money. Can you share with us some of the things that you guys do in the community to make impact around areas of development or youth? And then also how you decide on whether or not you want to get involved.
So absolutely. So I look at community engagement from the perspective of how are we supporting the areas where we do business. So, and that can be from an economic development perspective, that can be from a food insecurity perspective, youth development, all of those areas. So we want to make sure that Wegmans is a prime player in our community. So I make sure that we're doing that. So from that perspective, it's probably easier for me to share the organizations we may not support as to opposed to those okay. that we do, because we support basically about everybody.
I mean,
I'll be honest with you. We do have certain what we call giving priorities, which are youth, food, and seniors. But we do everything aside from that as well. So I try to make sure that if there is an initiative that is important to the community, that Wegmans is a part of that. For example, there are some STEM initiatives that are going on now. We're not really necessarily a science technology company per se, mm-hmm. but we recognize that our community needs that. We have people in the community who want to work in those areas, and they may have families who work for Wegmans, shop mm-hmm. at Wegmans, so we want to support that. So I really don't necessarily have a line that I draw from the perspective of wanting to support, but I do make sure that it kind of fits within our guidelines. So I'm not going to be specific, but I will say that, you know, just because Wegmans doesn't support doesn't mean that it's not a good initiative.
Right.
And I want to be clear with that. It just means that it doesn't really fit into what we're looking to do from that perspective. So we get everything, I'll say everything we get is a good request, but sometimes it's really things that really is, even if I try to, you know, read the fine print, it mm-hmm. just doesn't fit with Wegmans.
I get it.
Yeah, I get it.
I went through that when I was doing that work for Huber Brewer more consistently. I do it now, but it was a great opportunity for me to learn this process. And then I've called you to mm-hmm. talk to you about that. Like, what are some best practices? Because it was a level up for me in that space to manage, you know, right. a budget and how we give. And then with me, I wanted to just give it all away. Oh, yes, we'll support it. I want to do it. And it's like, hold on, Lakia, you know, here's a growth moment. Here's some constructive criticism. You need to have a sort of like metric system or a way to kind of measure,
right.
you know, whether or not it makes sense. Does this make sense?
Right.
Is the question for me, I like to ask. And then sometimes, to your point with the STEM concept, maybe, yeah, Wegmans isn't tied to STEM itself, but it's still serving the people right. that you serve. So there are other ways to kind of give back beyond just dollars.
Right. And that's what we focus on too, because mm-hmm. I don't want to just write a check. We want our check to come to life. So I'm more, you know, inclined to support things that we may send some of our employees to help volunteer, or it's a program that I can say we provided X amount of dollars to this program and mm-hmm. the impact was XYZ. And personally, my barometer is if Danny Wegman or Colleen Wegman, our company president, were to look at their request, I'm approving, mm-hmm. would they approve?
Right.
That's what I use. So would they be proud of what we're doing from a Syracuse market perspective?
Great. Thank you so much for that. Now let's move into a topic that I love and so I'm passionate about. I'm passionate about everything.
I see.
One of my best friends. Well, Lakia love everybody. She love everything.
Everybody and everything. Yes.
But entrepreneurship. So okay. when we started this off, you defined yourself as an entrepreneur and you mentioned this venture that you and your husband are doing. Tell us a little bit about that.
I got into this entrepreneur perspective, not necessarily intentionally, but that's kind of what it led into. So my husband and I have purchased a property on the south side of Syracuse that we're going to restore into a multi-use event center. Mm-hmm. And it will include event space for weddings, receptions. It'll also include a lounge, but most importantly, it's going to include a foundation, the Ingram Castle Foundation, that will be a transformative regional training center that provides training and development for both adults and youth. And that really pretty much is a focus of the event space. So we actually got into this really just having a vision for a property that we would drive by very frequently. And I say it's in the heart and soul of Syracuse, right on the south side, on the corner of South Salina and Coleman Street. And when you see it visually, it kind of looks like a castle. Mm-hmm. So we named the property The Castle. And The Castle, because it's royalty, you get a royal experience when you come to The Castle for whatever you're coming from, whether it's a training class or a wedding reception, you are going to get a royal experience. And we're working hard to make sure that we really implement that when we open the property. So right now, it's a $15 million project. It's a restoration project. And it is huge. In all aspects. And actually, it's our first development project. Right. And we didn't go into it thinking that's what it was, but that's what it is. It's a development project. And we've been really working diligently to get the property restored and renovated. It is a historic location. It's on the New York State Registry of Historic Places. So that's awesome, but it does mean there are certain stipulations and requirements we have to meet during the renovation process. But, you know, we're well on our way, and we actually just met this morning with our architectural firm who's showing us some designs and kind of working through that process. So we're excited about it, but it's huge. And I started out saying it was kind of my side gig, but it's a full-time side gig.
Oh my goodness, it's a full-time job. It's like you have two, when you're a hybrid entrepreneur, you have two full-time jobs when you're at this magnitude.
Yes.
A lot of people are starting to learn that this is no hustle over here.
No.
This is a real venture. And we're talking about real deal dollars, and we're talking about real deal impact.
Exactly.
And that's so important, I think, for us all to know. What type of training and development programs are you looking to have in this space?
So because of the circles that my husband and I have found ourselves in professionally, we often hear from employers who want to reach, say, the population of color, but don't really know how to. So the CASA will be a place that if you want to host an employment event, you know, at our foundation center, then you'd be able to come there, host a job fair. We also want to make sure that we are doing things to support health. So having health initiatives there, health fairs, and we've already been in discussion with the Syracuse Community Health Center to offer some health training there. But also, we want to be able to provide professional development training that will enable residents, both in immediate area and throughout Central New York, of different opportunities to be able to develop themselves and pursue careers that they want. But finally, which is near and dear to my husband's heart, he wants to do a charm school for boys.
Yes.
Yeah, that's something that really he's always had interest in doing. So we're going to be able to have a curriculum that will really train boys to men and know how to do life skills, things like simple as tying a tie. How to tie a tie, knowing how to dress and when. Obviously, my husband's in the retail industry, so fashion is his world.
Yes. But shout being out to able Chino.
Right, exactly. So trying to enable them to, from a fashion perspective, but simple things as what size shirt do you wear? You know, what are the length of pants that you should get? And sometimes I think we take those things for granted, but there are a lot of men who don't know that. So he wants to really be able to refine our boys into men so that when they move into adulthood, they'll know how to, if they're at a dinner, which fork do I use? And where do I put my napkin? How do I respond? So just those life skills for young men that will help them as they move forward. Because sometimes we focus on, you know, the math, the science, and all the classwork or coursework, but those life skills sometimes don't always get touched on. And I think a lot of times we do those things for women, but they're not always done for boys. So that's what we're looking to do as well.
It's so true. You know, I'm actually extremely happy to hear that, because we got to balance the equilibrium here.
Right, you know what I mean? And
when we talk about things like equity, I think it's important to see everything now through an equitable lens, you know, beyond the labels, beyond identities, all of these things. But what are we and who are we developing into society today? You said something earlier, and you said with entrepreneurship, it wasn't your intention. Now I'm going back to purpose. This is what's leading me to purpose and pipeline. God always foresaw the castle for you and your husband. And I'm getting a little emotional, so forgive me. Wow. He had already, even with Chino, shown him who his wife would be, and that in some way your passions would align to make a greater good and a stronger impact than beyond you can even imagine. And the vision of how you saw the castle, the vision of what you saw in, within the castle with training and development, it's a safe and secure space. It's a holy space for development of a new generation with a new attitude. And that's not to be singled off to one group. You have an opportunity to impact humanity for this new world, this new era. So I got a little chills and forgive me, but I have to be obedient. Mm-hmm. We don't have to include that, but I couldn't leave it because there's nothing that can stop this project from happening. And you're going to surpass your goal.
I appreciate that encouragement. And I'm a very spiritual person and I'm God-led. And I totally agree when you say that this is going to happen, because I don't believe God gives you a vision without making the provision.
That's right.
And we're seeing that, and not that it's been an easy road, but it's going to happen. And I think that the encouragement for your listeners is be flexible. Because if I had closed myself to opportunity, to not accepting the job at Wegmans because it's a supermarket, then look what I would have lost and missed out on. I have the job of a lifetime. I love it. I absolutely love working for Wegmans. If I had said, well, I'm going to work in a major city regardless, I would have missed out on the opportunity to build the castle. And there's a scripture that says, eyes haven't seen, nor ears heard the things that God has made for those that love him. And I love the Lord. And I know that the castle is not just for me or for Chino. The castle is for our community. And our community being defined as you just described, everyone. That is our goal. Even in the events that we have, the programs that we employ, it's going to be for everyone. Now, again, I'm Black. Chino's Black. We're going to have a Black aura because that's who we are.
Right.
But it's going to be for everybody because that's exactly what the castle will be. That's the focus of our foundation, the Ingram Castle Foundation, to be for everyone. The events that we have in the event space, the lounge will be for everyone. But I appreciate you. I feel the attachment that you have to the vision, and you feel part of it too.
Absolutely.
You know, and that's important. And that's why we had a huge fundraiser, you know, during New Year's Eve. And we wanted guests to leave feeling like this is what it will be like when the castle opens.
Right.
And that feeling of belonging, of commitment, of we got to get this castle open, which is the feedback we got after that event. That to me is encouragement that I need, that we're going to get this thing. We're going to get the money we need.
Yes.
We're going to get the resources we need. We're going to get the commitment and support from the community that we need to build this castle and open.
Yes. And tap into that Zillennial group to help you get there, because when they see your vision and you show them, they're going to put the effort and the work behind it.
And they're
to
good.
Make it happen. They're so good.
Oh, my goodness.
And they know how to do so many things.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, I just love them.
They're awesome. But that's one thing I will share that I think you probably have, you know, some younger listeners.
I do.
And that, yeah. And that is to say that it's important that you don't hide behind social media or technology, because that one-on-one interaction with people makes a huge difference.
And I'm
finding
it
goes a long way, huge way. And I'm finding that sometimes with the younger generation, they'll send a text before their call, or, you know, maybe an email before, again, they go in person. Because when I was growing up in Carrier, email was kind of just starting to come. And I literally had to go to people's offices and have conversations about things. And that helps build relationship. And that's the one thing I want to encourage the younger generations to maintain, that it's not always appropriate for a text.
Right.
Sometimes it's to pick up the phone, it's to have a call, it's meeting in person. It's just those interactions one-on-one or just in a social setting that really helps you build skills and build relationships.
Right.
So I don't want them to lose that.
Yes, that human connection, guys, you hear that? That's extremely important. And believe me, if you have it, you stand out. That's what I'm hoping with this show. So I interview mostly people who are more like older millennials, Gen Xers, baby boomers, and so forth. So we're coming down on time. And like I said in the beginning, I think our audience pretty much got to see who you are. But I do want to circle back again to you personally. What would you say are like three of your strongest values?
Well, at the top of that list is integrity. I really want to always model behavior that demonstrates integrity. And I've made employment change decisions based on working for a company whose integrity wasn't aligned with mine. Mm-hmm. So integrity is very important to me. And aligned with integrity, I think, is respect. I like to give respect, but I also want to receive respect. I think that that's important. And I'll share that even when I first entered the community relations arena, Melanie Littlejohn was already here. She was already in that space operating. So I'm not going to come into that circle acting like I know more than she does. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I would reach out to her and mm-hmm. get some guidance and advice. So I think people, because I respected her in that role, and I think that's important. The third thing I think I would say is, and I think I mentioned this a little bit earlier, is just flexibility. Mm-hmm. And to me, being flexible to the circumstance and situation and not having everything just so I got to do X, then I got to do Y, then I got to do Z. Be flexible, because sometimes there's a blessing in flexibility.
Yes.
You know, there's fun in flexibility. So I try to make sure that, you know, just kind of go with the flow sometime, because things are going to work out. I mean, I never thought I would be here on this podcast today. Who would have thought I would be in the role at Wegmans? You know, right. Even the castle, all those things. So just be flexible. And in all of that, just enjoy. Enjoy life, and don't be so serious that, you know, you're missing out on just the day-to-day laughter and enjoyment and fulfillment in life.
Yeah, I love that. And being open to the unknown.
Absolutely.
You know, and willing to embrace it and something new and new people and new things. I feel like you're right on. I really, truly, again, like I said, appreciate you taking the time to do this episode with me. All right. So is there anything that you would like my listeners to know before we say goodbye to this particular episode that you want them to take away with them?
Well, I'll just say this, that I just want to applaud you and your efforts and you're doing to support the community and to build people up. I think that's important. And I've watched you grow. I've seen you kind of be in different circles and trying finding your way. And I see that you are growing and you are progressing and you're being impactful. And I would just encourage you to keep doing that.
You
are making a difference. People are looking, they're listening, they're watching. And I think that if you don't today, tomorrow, you will see the impact that Lakia Hill is having on the Central New York community.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. And thank you all for taking the time to listen. I hope you really enjoyed this episode. If you have any questions or if you want to connect, reach out to me and I'll be more than happy to do so.